your heart. That's all God wants. All he wants is your heart. Not your money. Not your good works. Not a performance. He wants your heart. Hosea 6:6, one of the most profound verses of the Old Testament. And if we can bring that up on the screen, there we go. Hosea 6:6, if you'll read it with me. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. What a powerful passage. You see, the Old Testament people, they didn't really get it. The Old Testament people thought, you know, the more offerings I bring to God, the greater offering it is, the bigger I can get to God, the more powerful my offering is, the more God will love me, the more I can please him. They didn't get it. And God says in Hosea 6:6, which sets the stage for Jesus Christ, listen, I don't care how big your sacrifice is. I don't care how much you give me. I don't even care about the sacrifice yourself. If the heart is not at the center of everything you do for me, everything you give for me, everything you are about in this world, nothing you do for me matters. That's why even as Lutherans we know, and Christians, that even the good works of people who don't believe in Jesus don't matter. That's why we know when we say things like, oh, that person was good, so surely they're going to be in heaven, it doesn't matter. Because the reality is, unless you have Christ at the center of your heart, if there is faith, when there is faith, that is what pleases God. He wants our heart. He wants us completely. If we look at our Old Testament lesson for today, it's very interesting. The Cain and Abel story, it's a matter of the heart. If you read this, I've always wondered myself, so I dug into the scripture, why in the world, here's Cain and Abel, and Cain brings an offering to God, right? He brings an offering of fruit, and God says, okay, I accept your offering. And then Abel, what does Abel do? He brings an offering that is greater. He brings an offering that is the first fruit, the firstborn of his sheep, of his flock. He brings God a matter of the heart. You see, Cain's offering wasn't a matter of the heart. He was doing it for performance. I'm just going to take a couple vegetables and some fruit, and I'm going to give it to God. In the Hebrew, it's more obvious to us this is what's happening. We lose it in our English language because there's a stark contrast. Cain's offering is a last-minute sacrifice, no thought put into it. Abel comes before the Lord with the very firstborn of his sheep. What is most precious to him, he gives to God because he gives God his heart. He says to God, this is what I want you to have. It's everything that matters to me. Right? And what happens? Cain gets jealous. He kills Abel. Because he doesn't understand that God simply wants the heart. It's not about the possession. It's not about what you're giving. God wants the heart. He knows our heart. We can fool other people, but God knows the heart. Interesting side note in this story, it goes on to show that even in our sinfulness, God still redeems us. When he interacts with Cain, what does he say to Cain? I will protect you by putting what on you? What does God say? I'm going to put a mark on you. Think about this for a minute. We're more like Cain when it comes to our offerings to God, aren't we? Sometimes our heart isn't there. And guess what? What has God done for us? He puts a mark on us, doesn't he? In baptism, what do we say? Receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. What a wonderful little addition and that side note. Then we go to our epistle lesson today, and here's Paul. He's talking at Timothy, and he says, I have poured my life out like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. And if we add on to that, he could have said, and I've been in prison most of the time, in chains for the gospel, but I still ran the race. I still poured my life out. It was about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He goes on to say, listen, it's all about Jesus. Nothing I have done matters except that I have preached the one who died for us, who gave his life for us. My work is rubbish in this world, Paul says in places. It's nothing but filthy rags, as Isaiah says. but it's all about Jesus. I've given him my heart, Paul says. It's in my heart. I have failed. I've had thorns in my flesh. I've not done what I'm supposed to do. But yet God knows that my heart is secure in him. The gospel lesson for today. Here we have the Pharisee and the money man. Oh, a righteous man indeed. After all, he is clergy, right? And we put on our robes and we prance around. We had a joke at the seminary in our robes. We call it chancel prancing, prancing around the front, right? That's what we called it. He prances around, chancel prances in front of the people, and he looks good, and he knows everything. He can quote the catechism and the meaning to the catechism, except for him it was the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments, right? And what does he do? He stands up before God. He says, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like those people. I thank you that I'm a good man, and I love you. Is there heart in that, folks? Because what does the heart say? The heart is the poor tax collector who says, I'm wretched. I can't even lift my eyes to heaven because I'm a sinner. I failed to love God in all that I do and all that I have. I'm not able to give him the tithe that he wants. I'm not able to serve him with my life. I lust. Therefore, I commit adultery. I gossip. Therefore, I murder. You know how it goes, right? We're like that poor tax collector. In front of God, all we can do is hang our head and say, Lord, from the depth of my heart, forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. You know, a lot of pastors will stand up and they'll say to the congregation, make sure now, if you love Jesus, you're going to go out and you're going to help with the pumpkin patch. And if you love Jesus, you're going to go out and you're going to help with our November 12th basketball event. And if you love Jesus, you're going to increase your giving to the church. I don't do that. You know why? None of that matters to God. It's your heart. And let me tell you a little secret. When our heart is right in Jesus, when our heart is healthy in the Lord, we will do those things. We will give. We will serve. We will love. We'll reach our community because we can't help to do it. Because when we are right in our heart with the Lord, our relationship is right with Jesus. Jesus dwells in the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we overflow with a life of thanksgiving. We overflow with a life that gives him honor. We overflow with a life that gives him praise. We overflow with a life such as Abel, who brings to the Lord the first fruit of the offerings. I always chuckle about that, by the way. People will say, Pastor, do we tithe before or after taxes? You don't get it. It's the first fruit. The first fruit. You give to God the first fruit. And we do that because our heart is right with the Lord. We do that because we love the Lord. We do that because he loves us. If we want to talk about the heart, all we have to do is look at what God the Father did for us. Because brothers and sisters, I share with you today, I fail, you fail, we fail miserably at giving God our heart. We can't do it on our own without him. And into this world, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus into this world to be the final sacrifice, to be the ultimate sacrifice, to pay the penalty for our sins. And not only to do that, but to rise from the tomb to give us eternal life. God gave us his heart. He said to us, you can't do it, so I will do it for you by blessing you with my very heart and sending Jesus Christ into this world to die for you and to rise for you and sending the power of the Holy Spirit through baptism and word and sacrament to sustain you in faith so that when we fail at giving him our heart, he picks us up, he wipes us clean, he loves us. He sets us on the path back to righteousness, and he hugs us and says, I am with you always, even unto eternity. That is the gospel. The gospel is the heart of God. The gospel is the love, overwhelming love of God the Father that sweeps into our lives and shines as a beacon in darkness and shines as hope, giving us the certainty that not only can we live in this world with its failures and its brokenness, but we will, with all certainty and no doubt, live in heaven with Him forever. Brothers and sisters, it transforms us, you see. It takes poor people like us who are dirty and have baggage and who have a past and who have garbage and who have mental illness and who have sins that cling to us as dead weight. It takes us and it transforms us into the heart of Jesus, because now no longer is it your heart, it's the heart of Jesus that is alive and beating in you by virtue of baptism, the word, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It's the heart of Jesus living in us that compels us daily to love our neighbor, to love ourselves, to love God Himself in everything we do and with everything we have. It's a simple prayer, really. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Here's my heart. Make it your own. In His name, the name of Jesus,